Vishnu Paramahansa Parabhutavacharya Satirata Sri Simari Divine Grace Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya. ISKCON BBT Founder Charges Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya. Jayam Vishnu Paramahamsa Parabhutavacharya Satirata Sri Simari Divine Grace Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Ki Jaya. Ananti Kori Vaishnava Brink Ki Jaya. Namachar Srila Haridas Ki Jaya. Prems of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasari, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Transcendental Book Distribution Ki Jai, Gaura Premananda Haribo, all glories to some of the devotees, all glories to some of the devotees, all glories to some of the devotees, all glories to Sisi Guru and Guranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Hare Krishna. So, this will be like our Bhagavatam class today. We haven't done this for a few years. We used to do this annually, but for the last several years we haven't done it for whatever reason, but we should revive it again this year. Okay, I'll try. So as I was saying, today we're going to discuss and talk a little bit about our book distribution marathon in the temple here, and just try to speak a few things in terms of why we do book distribution. Why is it such a big issue or important issue in ISKCON? So we're going to talk a little bit about that. But Prabhupada said many times that this Krishna consciousness movement, it runs on two parallel streets. It's like Pancha Triki Vidhi and Bhagavat Marg. This Pancha Triki Vidhi is actually the deity worship. As we know, we can't exist if we didn't have the lordships Sisi Rukmini Dwarkadish, Jagannath Baladev, Subhadra, and Sisi Gornitai. They're our life and soul. And so it'd be just almost like unbelievable to not have the deities here, to worship the deities, this Pancharatriki Vidhi. Extremely important for us, because what it helps us do is develop Vaishnava qualities. It will develop a gentle demeanor of Vaishnava qualities. And this Bhagavat Marg is important because it's about preaching. And if one has life, one preaches. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj mentioned like this, that where there's life, there's preaching. So we need two things. We need the preaching activity, and then we need the Pancharatriki Vidhi for purification, for our own purification. And we see that those things have to go on simultaneously in the temple, so that brings a whole other aspect of Krishna consciousness in terms of this preaching temple. Temple is very important because people that are neophytes, they need a place to go. They need somewhere to pray, to associate and see Krishna. So the temple is very important for that reason. And then, of course, preaching is important to bring people to the temple, and so that they'll be purified and gradually become devotees. So, Srila Prabhupada gave examples. My favorite is that the Krishna conscious movement is like an army. And in that army, there's so many aspects to the army. It's not just the people on the front line, but it's a lot of people on the backside. So the Krishna conscious movement is like an army. We have devotees. Army cannot exist without food, cooking. So that's an important aspect of Krishna consciousness and prasadam distribution. So we need prasadam. The people, that devotees that are going out on book distribution need to eat. Everybody needs to eat. So this cooking, prasadam distribution, extremely important. That's part of how an army moves. It moves on its belly. So if we don't have that, it's very difficult to go out. And also we see that there's so many other things that need to go on. There's purchasing, there's the deity worship, of course. There's the cooking, as we mentioned. There's the cleaning. There's the organizing. There's festivals. So there's so many aspects. And all these need to be focused on the idea of preaching Krishna consciousness. So the devotees that are going out on book distribution, they're bringing people to the temple by this book distribution. And when they come, they need to be spoken to. They need to be preached to. They need to be trained and taught about Krishna consciousness. So that aspect is extremely important in terms of the spreading of Krishna consciousness and the movement going on. So all these things have to work in harmony. And that harmony works when even those that are here at the temple, they also need to develop a preaching spirit, that what we're doing is preaching, that we're making sure that the deities are very beautiful, the altar's clean, pujari room is clean, temple is clean and organized. These things are very attractive. It attracts people. They love to see this kind of atmosphere, and it makes them feel that they're in a godly atmosphere, in a godly situation. And then they act accordingly with awe and respect. So all these things are necessary in order for the Krishna consciousness movement to go on. And so from there, we begin to see how and what we need to do to attract the living entities to come closer to Krishna consciousness. So we have festivals, and these festivals are meant to bring people, to excite them more about Krishna consciousness, to see how beautiful it is, like we have our annual Rath Yatra festival, and how it brings tens of thousands of people to the event, to the festival, and they come to the temple afterwards. Then they see Govindas, the gift shop, and of course the buffet. Those things are also important. The gift shop's a very cultural presentation. People can buy Krishna conscious paraphernalia, worship the deity in their home, and wear devotional clothes. So all these things help them come closer to Krishna consciousness. And of course, Govinda's buffet, they have an opportunity to taste prasadam. And it's very unique in terms of them having a place that they can go where they know the food is sanctified and purified and that it's offered to Krishna. It's like when we were devotees in Denver, we'd always wanted to come to L.A. because we knew they had a Govinda's restaurant. And, you know, you couldn't eat in restaurants, so when you had the opportunity to come to L.A. and eat at Govinda's restaurant, it was like an outing. It was like a day out. Go get a Bhima burger and get some French fries cooked by devotees in a restaurant atmosphere. And that was always very exciting, something to do in that reference. So Govinda's is important for a lot of people. For most people, that might be a very big stepping stone in order for them to come closer to Krishna consciousness. Like so many people come to the buffet and to the gift shop, but they don't step foot in here. But still, they're thinking about Krishna, and they ask about Krishna. And one day, maybe they'll come into the temple and see the deities. But the point being is that it's attractive to them, and it's opportunity for us to preach to them by our activity. By the preaching of, you know, the preaching is the prasadam distribution. You can get online and you can Pachan Govindas and how many reviews we have. And the reviews are fantastic. They love Govindas. That's important in the course of our little temple here and what we do. And these things are done on a preaching spirit. It's meant to entice and encourage and attract people and devotees, for that matter, to come to the temple to experience that association. So these different departments are essential in order for this process to go on and to expand. Because those devotees that go on traveling Sankirtan, when they're going on TSKP, it's a two-man show or a three-man show. You have to do everything. You have to cook, you have to clean, you have to go out and distribute, you have to order your books. It's like, you can see it's a lot of energy that you expend just to be able to get out the door and just meet somebody. So this whole process put together is extremely important, and the more that process is organized and put together nicely, the results show. We used to say, you know, if you want to distribute books, you have to have books. So that means that if you have books in the temple, you have a go-down, and somebody can just go into that go-down and take a book, the books will be distributed. So you need a BBT, a printing house. So many aspects are needed and necessary for the preaching activity. If we didn't have any books here, we wouldn't go out and distribute books. There would be no book distribution. But we have a lot of books here. So we distribute a lot of books. And we'll go over that a little bit more. I think that in terms of the army here in New Dwarka, it's a very powerful army. It's been existing for many years, way back in the 70s when it began. And it's been rolling all the way up to the present day. Just to give you a little bit of an idea, I went over some figures. I do like to look at figures a lot. They're very exciting. So just to give you an idea, I was looking at I was adding up the remittances from the Los Angeles Temple to the BBT here in New Dwarka. So Tadit and I, we didn't arrive till we arrived in 1986. So I don't have 86 or 87. Somehow I couldn't find it. But from 1988 to the present, 2022, this temple distributed and gave BBT, distributed thousands of books. But this temple, from 1988 to 2022, gave the BBT $9,500,000. Yes. Whoa. I mean, can you imagine? It's probably $10 million because I missed a couple of years. So it's probably like $10 million. Can you imagine? Yeah. This is like historical for one particular temple. What's that? That's right. That's old money. A lot of it's old money. You're right, before the inflation. It meant a lot more previously. You're correct on that. So you can just see, if you have a steady ship and you have a good army, the results are there. And I'm sure, I'm positive that if we sat in a room and we told Srila Prabhupada what the LA Temple did for his BBT, he would be ecstatic. Right? I'm sure. I'm positive of it. So all of us should be proud of this activity. We should be very proud that this temple can distribute that many books, give so much to the BBT. And we should make a commitment to help the future of book distribution in New Dwarka. We should try our best to help make devotees. We should try to make the deities look more attractive than ever. The cook should cook very nicely to attract people. Govinda's gifts. Just to give you an example, Satchi Dulal, everybody knows Satchi Dulal. You know, when he was not a devotee, I remember I was up in the gift shop with Tadit on Sundays. And Sundays I used to help for a couple of hours. So he was Sailesh at that time. And he would come up to the gift shop. And he was really, I think he was a Shiva, was it Shiva worshiper? Yeah, he was, I can't remember exactly, so I hope he doesn't get offended. But I think it was about Shiva. And he'd come up to the gift shop and we would talk to him. I'd connect with him, have a few words with him. And he was pretty staunch in his faith. But just by coming to the gift shop, associating with the girls, me talking to him periodically, he became more and more attracted to Krishna consciousness. And today, you can see, just that was his beginning. And today, he's Satchi Dulal. And all the service that he does for Rukmini Dwarkadish. Hari Bol. Yeah. That's just one example of a person, a devotee, that comes in contact. So these different departments, they're not useless, and they're not just for money making, but they're actually for preaching. They're a preaching tool. And we have no idea how many other hundreds, if not thousands of people, have become in some form or other attracted to this Krishna conscious movement by those, that gift shop, and of course, the Govinda's buffet. And another aspect is that those entities, they actually do bring Lakshmi to the temple. Just this year, the gift shop and the buffet combined gave over $100,000 profit to the temple this year. Yes. So it's not just, you know, there, but it helps. It helps in the overhead of the temple. And at the same time, it purifies a lot of people. They get purified by that association. And they become Krishna conscious to some degree, some level or other. So deity worship, Panchatriki Vidhi, is extremely important. And then, of course, you know, this idea of book distribution, extremely important. Prabhupada had said so many things about book distribution. I'm just going to read a couple of captions just to kind of give us an idea what Prabhupada thought about book distribution. Before I say that, though, this is a very nice caption. It says that in the material world, according to Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, it's a blazing fire of material existence. The only thing that can extinguish the fire is the rain of mercy coming from the spiritual master in the form of his instructions, guiding us in Krishna consciousness. The books Srila Prabhupada left us are drops of this rain of mercy. Oh, that was very sweet. These books are Srila Prabhupada's mercy. And when people get in contact with these books, they feel that mercy. They get a taste of that in the words of the pure devotee. And you know, that verse in the Bhagavatam, Shushusho Sharadana Sevasya Deva Kataru Chi. Just by coming in contact with the pure devotee of the Lord and rendering service by, you know, buying a book, touching the book, reading the book, all these things are drops of mercy of the spiritual master. And it purifies. And from that, one gains the affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudeva. They want to hear more. And that actually happens. We see it in so many different examples of people that just... One of my most favorite examples is one devotee many years back. It's so apropos, but there was a devotee that many years back his father received a book in the airport, and the father brought the book home, put it on the bookshelf. He saw it, but he never read it. He had no attraction to reading it. So him and his friends, they would actually, they would pump iron, you know, building up their muscles. So they had it in a room, and in that room there was a bookshelf. So this devotee told me that they were pumping iron, and one time he was had a lot of weight on it, and he was up there, and he was going to drop it, and his friend, just in a nick of time, helped him and pushed the bar back, and the bar hit the shelf, and a book fell on his head. It was called the Bhagavad Gita As It Is. It fell on his head. It's a true story. And it put a little gash in his head. So he decided, okay, I'll read this book. He read this book and became a devotee. And this is the power of of this book distribution. It's phenomenal how and how many other stories there are of devotees and how they came and what they experienced. So this is a transcendental activity. It's not a mundane process. It's not just meant, you know, sometimes people say, you know, get a job, you know, and have you ever tried going out on book distribution? Yeah, you talk about a job, I mean, forget it. Yeah, I'd get a job any day. Yeah, book distribution is very, very, it's very strenuous. Another story that we've told before, but it's true. There was one person that met the Hare Krishna movement at the Radharaman temple. And he would come to the temple there, and he became very attracted to Krishna consciousness. So he came here one day, and he was speaking with me, and he said, well, what do you guys do? And you know, there are different things that we do, and we do book distribution. He said he was an expert salesman. That's what he told me. I asked him, what do you do? He said, I'm a salesman. I'm really expert, top-notch. I'm top of the mountain in my corporation. And I said, wow, that's great. The devotees go, we could use your association because, you know, we're going out every day. He says, no problem. I'd like to help. So I didn't hear from him again for quite a while. One day he came to the temple and he said, well, you know, I'm really getting sick of my job and I'd like to see if I can do book distribution. So he gave me a few $100, $300 or $400, and he bought a bunch of books. And I said, well, you can go to the parking lot. You can associate with devotees at the airport. So he did that. He went and followed the devotees. And he kind of associated with them and got an idea how and what they were doing. So then eventually he went out on his own. We didn't hear from this person for quite a while. It might have been, I don't know, it may have been months. I forgot about him, actually. It was so long. Finally came back to the temple and he had the books with him. He says, I'd like to give you these books back. And he said, I have all respect for the devotees that are going out on this book distribution. I'm a crack salesman, but I couldn't get anybody to take a book. No one would take it from me. They would just curse me, laugh at me, and they would actually just refuse. And the purport of this is that you really can't distribute books unless you have a pure mind. If you have a pure mind, if you have pure habits of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, then only can you distribute Srila Prabhupada's books properly. If we don't have that purity, it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. It can be you could be like a shooting star. But to continue to increase, to preach, you have to have a pure mind and pure lifestyle. And that's the requirement for book distribution. So it's very difficult to have a pure mind every day. Can you imagine how your mind beats on you every single day when you get up about something? It's screaming at you about something and trying to take you down another path, and you got to bridle it, bring it in, and then you got to get in that van, and your foot has to hit the pavement, and you got to get out there. This is a real yogi. This is really a devotee. So we should have all respect for these young men and women that go out on book distribution. Let's give them a big Hari Bol. Yes. And we should do everything we can in the temple to help them with their pure mind and pure lifestyle. We should help them. That's why the deity worship is so important. the pujaris, they make the deities look absolutely stunning and gorgeous on a daily basis. And then we need prasadam like we had yesterday. There's TSKP prasad, Haribol. It's the kind of prasadam that's ecstatic. You know, when I was on traveling Sankirtan with brahmacharis many years back, we would cook. And I remember I was cooking dal. I cooked this really mean dal. They, somehow or other, they liked my dal. But I'd make just a huge pot of it, and then we make rice. And then what was, you sat down and took prasadam, and after you got done eating, all you could do is go to sleep. And then we knew that was real prasad. Because you passed out, and then you got up and went to work. Everybody took a nap on your left side, took a nap for a half hour, 45 minutes, squeezed out as much as you could, and then you get dressed, get in a van, and hit the road and distribute Papa's books. There was never a better life than that activity. No better life. Because it was clean mind, clean life. And then we experience Krishna consciousness at its topmost. That's how we experience it. So when we do this book distribution, our temple has to be of clean mind and clean lifestyle in order for us to increase this book distribution. That's what it's going to take. If we're thinking, well, how are we going to distribute more? That's how we distribute more. And by that clean mind and clean lifestyle, then you have people like Bhakti Kier coming, you know, and Bhakti Rico is coming. Yes, they come. Bhakti Emil, Jai. They come. And they act like normal, natural devotees. You know, when I went in the Didi, I'm in the kitchen yesterday and the Prabhus were cooking, I thought, oh, wow, man, this is a Hare Krishna temple. It was so sweet, so nice to see our young men and working hard just to cook, and they're happy and they work together, you know, for the goal, for the purpose. And there was everybody in that kitchen, I could tell, was in a clean mind. Yeah, don't you think? Anandakirtan, was it? It was just for, you know, Krishna. It was for Prabhupada. It was clean, and you felt clean. And you felt eager and enthusiasm to want to, you know, do this and preach. And that's what it takes. That's really the purport of this. That's why we do all these things. Pancharatri Kitiki is purification. To have Vaishnav etiquette, Vaishnav qualities, and Vaishnav lifestyle. Yes. And then we have clean mind, pure mind. And then we can preach, we can talk, and we can discuss. And these things are so extremely important. And, you know, then the numbers come. We're talking about numbers a lot. Numbers are important. Prabhupada loved numbers. Isn't that like, I mean, really, if you gave numbers to Srila Prabhupada, he became completely ecstatic. And he thought, this is, we were in pig heaven when we could see that Prabhupada. In fact, when Prabhupada was very ill, when we were, the devotees used to, I don't know who said it, but I remember it was just a new devotee, and they were saying things like, yeah, if we double it, Srila Prabhupada will live longer. So we took it for real. You know, we just worked like anything to double it. And we prayed to Srila Prabhupada, please help us. And when Prabhupada heard the scores, he was ecstatic. He loved it. It wasn't some material thing. Because that money means more books. That's what it means. It's not for sense gratification. It means more books. And even here in the temple, for us, more books. It means more books. And you can see the people that supported it, that took that particular board there. I think it was like something like $65,000-$70,000 that people donated towards book distribution. They felt the ecstasy of that book distribution. It was very powerful. So I'll say a few more things, and maybe Naikatma Prabhu and Brigopati Prabhu can say a few words. That would be nice. So I'll just read a little something here. Prabhupada wrote a letter December 8, 1971. Preaching is our real business, preaching and distributing books. If your preaching work is strong, then your management of temple affairs will also become automatically very strong. Just like if the head wills it, the hand will move. Preaching, like the head, preaching is like the head of our Krishna conscious society. If the head is removed, the whole body dies. Managing is the hands, which work nicely if the head is healthy. If the hands are removed, the body will not die, but it will be crippled. So preaching is more important than management, but both must be there if the whole body is to operate nicely. Yes. So, Nakatma, would you like to say a few words, Prabhu? Can we give him a microphone?
Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sankirtan devotees ki jai. I just wanted to say a couple little things that sort of came to mind as Savas Prabhu was speaking. There's a common saying that first impressions are lasting impressions. And I, to this day, I can still remember the first day that I ever came across a devotee and was handed a book. It's so clear in my brain, even to this day. I remember walking through a mall in South Chicago. It was called the Ford City Mall, if anybody knows Chicago. And as I was walking through the mall, this one young man came up to me in sort of a frantic sort of way, but and I could see that as he was looking around that he was doing something he felt was maybe not too much liking to the mall authorities. In other words, he was looking for security. And then he handed me this book, and I didn't pay too much attention to it. It was a small little blue book. And he said, here, take this with you. And the first thing that came to my mind was, this is so cool. This young guy is so into something that it made such an impression upon me that, I didn't react too much to the book, but I just reacted to his energy. And he said, it's something the Beatles are into, and give a donation. And I just gave him whatever I had. I had some a few dollars, but just that small exchange. I took the book home and I ended up reading it right away, and I didn't understand much about it, but there was this title, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, on it. And it was so fascinating. And I think anyone who goes out and connects with a conditioned soul and gives them a little taste for Krishna consciousness, whether it be book distribution or prasadam or Harinam, or you're just out and about and somebody gets curious about your dress, maybe you're going through the airport or whatever. But those people, that impression, you can be sure it sticks with them. I remember in earlier days, we used to do the airport regularly, and regularly, people would come through the airport, and we'd try and give them a book, and they'd say, I already have one, or I've seen you people before. And many, many, many times, people would say, oh, well, I already have some of your books. And then you try and ask them, just speak to them for a few moments, and you try and get some sort of feedback from them. And it was so, it was uncanny how people just appreciated how this person was very polite to them. Or this other person was very attractive to them. Something that the, and you could see that many, many times people were more into the person than the book. Or sometimes this person would, this was a bad experience. It was rude. And I don't have any interest. So my point again is that first impressions are lasting impressions. And when the Sankirtan devotees go out, and when the preachers go out, it's so important that they, not just appearance-wise necessarily, but just their approach and how they deal with people has a lasting impression upon people. And you can believe it. Even they don't understand what Krishna consciousness is all about. They may be so fortunate to meet a devotee and then read the book, and their life changes, as it did for me anyway. But one little quick story, and that was that in St. Louis we used to, which was a very good airport, as you go into the St. Louis airport, the upper deck was the ticket counters, and below was the gates. And in those days, you didn't have to go through security. There was no big deal about being downstairs in front of the gates. And there was an escalator that people would travel down to go to their gates. And the devotees, you know, they were smart. They would take advantage of that escalator because everybody had to go down the escalator. So devotees would congregate at the bottom of the escalator, and people would come down, and you'd approach them. And right next to the escalator was a coin changing machine, a dollar change machine. I think maybe they still have them there. I don't know. But you put in a dollar, and you get your four quarters. And people would use it for their lockers or their carriages that they would take around with their luggage. And one day, this businessman was coming down, and sometimes businessmen were not so approachable. Just there, some young kid coming up to a businessman. They're thinking, who is this? You know, get a job. What are you doing out here? And so many other other more derogatory things. And anyway, this one, a young fellow, businessman, came down. He went straight to the coin machine. And I was watching him. And he was fumbling and looking for some dollars that he was going to change for coins. And, you know, I happened to have a lot of quarters that day, because it was one of those days. There weren't too many dollars that day, but there were a whole lot of quarters. So I went up to the fellow and I said, excuse me, sir, can I noticed you're changing your quarters and or your dollars, and I have a lot of quarters I can give you. So he said, okay, sure, give me a couple bucks. And so I'm giving him change for his $2 or $3, whatever it was. And as I'm standing there, he doesn't even look at me, and he says, in a real sort of direct way, so aren't you going to try and sell me that book? And I was sort of taken back. I said, no. I just need the quarters, and I'm just getting rid of the coins. And he said, he didn't even say a word. He just took out a $100 bill, handed it to me, and turned around and started walking away. And I said, hold on. Let me give you the book. And he said, no. I already have it. And he kept on walking. So my point again is that first impressions are lasting impressions. And when you When the Sankirtan devotees go out in a blissful way and they're having such nectarian exchanges with people, or they're giving Srila Prabhupada's books, which are so beautiful, it's a lasting impression upon people. And you can be sure it stays with them for the better part of their lives, if not changing it forever.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna.
Hari Bol. So, Brigapati Prabhu.
Well, there's a famous conversation between Lord Shiva and his wife. His wife asked him, what's the best worship? And Lord Shiva said, Aradhanam Sarvesham, Vishnu Aradhanam Param, Tasmat Paratiram Devi, Sankirtanam Samacharam. That of all forms of worship, the worship of Lord Vishnu is the topmost, but even higher than the worship of Lord Vishnu is the worship of Sankirtan. Right? Wrong. Mm. No, he didn't say that. Lord Shiva said, Tadiyanam. That's even better. It's even better. What Lord Shiva said was even higher than the worship of Lord Vishnu is that which is in Tadiyanam, means in relationship with Vishnu, which is generally understood to mean the devotee. So that's what he said. And when we're distributing Prabhupada's books, guess what? We're worshiping the devotee. Because Prabhupada put everything into those books. He said, these purports are my devotional or emotional ecstasies. He said, Prabhupada put everything in these books. And when we distribute Prabhupada's books, we're worshiping Prabhupada. And, of course, that's extremely important. In the Bhagavad Gita, there's a statement by Krishna in the 18th chapter. He says, I declare that he who studies this sacred conversation of ours worships me by his intelligence. So that same principle is there. And why do we want to, why are these books so important? They provide inspiration. You know, as I said, Prabhupada said, these books are my devotional ecstasies. So when people come in contact with Prabhupada's words in the written form, in the auditory form, it has an, you know, it's inspiring. It has an impact on the heart. I know that was the case with me. I got the teachings of Lord Chaitanya on April 13th, 1973. And I was reading it. And I remember, as I was reading it, I was thinking to myself, wow, I don't even know if I'm understanding what I'm reading here, but I really like this. So it just occurred to me this morning that what I was saying is I was feeling inspiration. I was feeling inspiration by Prabhupada's words. And that wasn't the first time. I had like a few different occasions where that happened. So, you know, Prabhupada's words provide inspiration. And because they're coming from Krishna. You know, Prabhupada said, when I sit down, there was one occasion where Prabhupada was preaching, and actually there's a few different stories like this. You hear, when you're on the Prabhupada memories, you hear a few different devotees say a different version of this same point, principal point, that Prabhupada's preaching, and the devotees are doing this and that, leaving the room or whatever, and Prabhupada has them come back, and then he says, no, you have to be here. And even if Prabhupada was preaching in another language. And Prabhupada said, so he asked, there's one occasion where he was talking to Tamal Krishna Maharaj in Bhagavat. I don't know his name now. But he was saying, you know, so you're studying the books, you know, you're learning the shlokas and all. And they said, well, yes, what a problem. And then Prabhupada quizzed them. He said, do you know this one? And they didn't. They didn't know it properly. And he said, no, you have to read these books. You have to study the books. He said, even I read my books. That's the big line. He said, even I read my books. And then he asked him, he said, and do you know why I read my books? He said, because when I sit down to write these books, Krishna comes, you know, and enlightens me, tells me what to say, each and every word. So that's what Prabhupada said. And as I said, there's different versions of that story that told. One by Shruti Kirti tells his version of it, and I'm not sure who else. But so that's the point, you know. These books are, you know, Prabhupada was inspired by Krishna. and in Atlanta in 1975, Prabhupada was talking with the book distributors, and he asked Chipperari. Chipperari made the point that, you know, when we go to the temples, they ask us to give a class on book distribution technique. And Prabhupada said, "So what do you tell them?" And Chipperari said, "Well, we tell them first they have to, you know, read the books and, you know, come to the chant and so forth." And Prabhupada interrupted him and said, "That is our only technique, to become very strict followers of the rules and regulations." So he said, in other words, cause why? Because if you do that, if you read the books, if you study the books, like it was just heard Krishna say, you're worshipping Krishna by his intelligence, by studying the Bhagavad Gita. You're worshipping Prabhupada with your intelligence by studying the books, and you'll get the inspiration to distribute them. And that's the whole thing, you know, inspiration. People come to Krishna consciousness on inspiration. And somebody might say, well, how come we don't see more people coming? Well, it might have something to do with just our desire. You know, we have to develop a stronger desire to want the people to come. You know, because the books are potent. You know, it's not like the books are less potent now than they were 50 years ago. They're as potent now as they ever were. People in Kali Yuga are getting more covered over, you know, by the day. So we have to ratchet up our desire to see people become devotees. And there's a nice, and you might say, well, you know, isn't that a sentiment? No, I don't think so. Because here in the fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the purport, Prabhupada says, a pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always thinking of how fallen conditioned souls can be liberated, can be delivered. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, influenced by the merciful devotees' attempt to deliver the fallen souls, enlightens the people in general from within by his causeless mercy. I've quoted this before. Maybe many of you have heard it, but this time I thought I'd quote it exactly correctly by using the book. Yeah, that's a big sentence here. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, influenced by the merciful devotees' attempt to deliver the fallen souls, enlightens the people in general from within by his causeless mercy. So, you know, the devotees figure into the picture there. If we're really attempting to deliver the fallen souls, Krishna is inspired by that, and he reciprocates by enlightening them. And Prabhupada actually gave himself as an example of this principle in a letter he wrote to Sudama, who was a disciple of his. In 1972, he said, "When I was alone in your New York, I was thinking, who will listen to me in this horrible, sinful place? All right, I shall stay a little longer. At least I can distribute a few of my books. That is something. But Krishna was all along preparing something I could not see. He brought you to me, one by one, sincere American boys and girls, to be trained up for doing the work of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now I can see that it is a miracle. Otherwise, your city of New York, one single old man with only a few books to sell for barely getting edibles, how can he survive? What to speak of introducing a God-conscious movement for saving humankind? That is Krishna's miracle." So, same idea. Prabhupada was so sincere about wanting to spread the Krishna conscious movement that Krishna had to reciprocate with him. And as it says here, he sent these young boys and girls one by one, these sincere American boys and girls, to be trained up for doing the work of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we have to try to follow in the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada and become really sincere about, you know, practicing Krishna consciousness and trying to spread it. And if we are, then hopefully we'll get the same sort of reciprocation from Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, that Prabhupada got. And, you know, Krishna will inspire people from within to come forward and become devotees. That's my understanding of how it works. Archita would like to say something.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Brigapati, for your usual inspirational quotes. He's become a real quote machine. Anyway, I just wanted to say briefly, thank you, Suvas, for pointing out that the purity, pure mind, pure lifestyle, That's essential. But there's another P that's very, very important. That's patience. I notice a lot of the sacred Thandabodhis, they come out on Harinam, especially on Fridays. And they can tell you in their own experience, maybe 1 in 10, maybe 1 in 15 will even stop and give you like a few seconds to try to distribute a book. So it takes a lot of patience. If you get impatient, and that's not just on distributing books, in any aspect of Krishna consciousness, if you get impatient with yourself, and even worse, if you get impatient with other devotees, you're really putting a big roadblock into your progress. So in book distribution, it's very obvious. If you're impatient, you're not going to get anywhere. So especially, I just wanted to point out one devotee in particular, Swarnabindu Prabhu. I think he's the emblem of patience on distributing books. You know, you just watch him for like a few minutes. He's so patient dealing with the Kali Yuga wretched souls that walk up and down the Santa Monica Promenade. It's just amazing. And I'm not surprised because I've known him for a long time. You know, I've been visiting Croatia for many, many years. And I know that this is his real personality. He's not faking it. He's a very, very patient person. He was a bhakti leader. And to be a bhakti leader also, you have to be extremely patient with new people and all their problems. So he's just an extremely patient person. So I would advise the other young devotees that are here to take his association and learn from him how to be extremely patient in distributing books. Hare Krishna.
Hare Bo. Okay, I'll just read one little caption here. It says here, a purport by Srila Prabhupada. Nonviolence is generally taken to mean not killing or destroying the body. But actually, nonviolence means not to put others into distress. People in general are trapped by ignorance in the material concept of life, and they perpetually suffer material pains. So unless one elevates people to spiritual knowledge, one is practicing violence. One should try his best to distribute real knowledge to the people so that they may become enlightened and leave this material entanglement. This is non-violence. So, Amalabhata Maharaj, a couple of minutes. Do you like to say something? No? Okay. What? Oh, yeah, let's show the video real quick. Great. Please do. Is there sound or just pictures? Okay. Yeah, just keep it going. That way we can look at it. Yes. Ask a question. Oh, you have a comment? Sure.
One thing I'd like to say, the value, the strength, the glory of these books, they are so incredible. See, I was head of a yoga center in New York, okay? I had over 500 students, plenty of money coming in, plenty of people inviting us to TV shows and going down the street and doing our own little parades. Anyway, it was quite known, and many people understood us. The thing is this, is that somebody gave me one of these books, and first thing I said, well, what do we need them for? We have our asanas, our exercises, our breathings, relaxations. That's the real yoga. Well, I found out very different when I started reading this book. It had such a transformational effect upon me. I said, well, maybe I should just... What is this Hare Krishna? Yeah, we didn't know. And interestingly enough, even the teacher that I had, when I told him about this Hare Krishna, he said, well, let's all chant it then. Well, that was the beginning of a lot of people's transformation. I had a student named Javidadas. Well, he disappeared. I had a student named... he's one of the sannyasis. He disappeared. All my students were going away. And I was wondering, what do they have over at that Hare Krishna center that I don't have? Pure love of God. And we were supposed to be gaining pure love of God from the process of bending and stretching and going this way and going that way and the breathing and the sleeping and all of these kind of things. But this book was showing us how to do it, the Hare Krishna mantra. In fact, we began at our lectures chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. At our lectures, at the beginning, not just thinking, we didn't even want to go near that. But because so many people were turning to Hare Krishna, we thought, well, there must be, maybe there's something to it. Bhrigupati was one of my students also, believe it or not. He even slept, stayed at our temple. Wow. So I began, then he disappeared. I said, what's going on? All my students are leaving. What is this Srila Prabhupada? And then I disappeared. Seriously. So I still Bhrigu may remember the first day that I came there. He came at the door and he said, here, let me introduce you. It was breakfast time. And I saw all the whole place was just filled up with breakfast students. And I said, this is absolutely amazing. And then I went to hit, they talked me to Ridayananda Maharaj. I said, you guys got a philosophy. It's not this bending and stretching and breathing and resting and relaxing. It really is about connecting with God. I said, this is where I want to be. And so I joined Bhrigupati after about maybe 6 months later and never looked back.
Hari Bol.
It was wonderful, really.
Good story.
It shows you how great it was because it took away. I was the leader there, by the way, like you. You know, same thing. But it was so powerful, so great, so glorious, so filled with pure love of God, and that manifested through the different students to one another. I felt it was peacefulness, lovefulness, glory, and so many wonderful aspects of our philosophy, had so many things. I said, this is a waste of time. Yeah, you could do the bending and stretching, but that's not going to get you anywhere except a flexible body. Yeah. That's it. But what was coming on over here, Krishna consciousness, and devotees were going out in the street. I said, what's the motivation? What's making them? Prabhupada. Prabhupada inspired us. He enthused us. He enlivened us so much that you couldn't not want to do that.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say. Thanks so much,
Thank
all
you.
Of you. For inspiring.
Sachi, we've got a couple more minutes. Please bear with us. Give us another 10 minutes, and then we'll go.
Thank you, Subhas Prabhu. I was reflecting about that verse that says, Brahmanda Brahmita Kona Bhagya Vanjiv Guru Krishna Prasad Pai Bhakti Latavish, that the living entities wandering throughout all the universe looking for what? Happiness. But then when that living entity meets Guru and Krishna, that's the perfection of their lives, then happiness sure will come. So all these literatures have that. And we are so fortunate that in this temple, we always have books. There's no time that I can remember that we don't have books. Somehow or other, Krishna has been blessed by sending devotees who have that spirit, that they understood the mission of the Guru, and it makes it easy for us. So as far as the books goes, one quote from, I remember Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, you know, we heard that quote. He says, if all the literatures of the world will be disappearing from this world, but one book is left, Bhagavatam,
said,
nothing is lost. In other words, we get everything. And that's a very powerful thing. Now, when we are distributing books sometimes, we are convinced that we have the best product. Nevertheless, when we go on to present the books, we find that many people sometimes, unfortunately, they're not ready. But we have that conviction that we have diamonds. And as Prabhupada gives the example, how many people goes to the diamond shop? Things like that. I mean, there's so many things that we can just, you know, live with. As far as book distribution goes, compassion. A lot of times we talk about compassion. The saintly people are compassion. But when we're going there, at least myself, am I compassionate? Do I have any compassion, really? And then I examine myself and say, nothing. Then I go back, no, this is the great sages, this is Prabhupada, this is the whole parampara. So we're working under their direction. Even if we not have all those qualities, they will come back eventually if Krishna feels like you need to have those. And many people ask sometimes, what are you doing this? I mean, if I can make a list of the many times I've been asked, maybe like probably 100 people, what do you do this? what do you get out of this?
Yeah.
And it's like it makes you think about it. Why do you do this? And then you can give different answers, but sometimes I say, you know, I'm coming here to please my, you know, teachers, spiritual masters. Sometimes I said, you know, it's about kindness and generosity, and we're here to spread the message of love of God. And then sometimes I said, actually, you know, I'm coming here just to, you know, get those virtues of life, kindness, compassion, tolerance, and all those things. We don't have it, so I'm working on that. Thank you. God bless you, Srila Prabhupada. So,
Maharaj, would you like to say a word, a couple minutes?
So I wanted to address the topic of the importance of the qualities of the devotee who's presenting the books and how that makes a powerful impact. As Prabhu was saying, the lasting impressions. So I received a book from Revati Nandan Prabhu. He was here for a little while. He left his body. In 1991, I was in JFK Airport on my traveling to Ireland. I had a guitar. I had my trumpet. I had my long hair. And he stopped me. He was wearing a suit. And he said, do you look like a musician? Do you play in a band? And I said, yes. And he said, what's the name of your band? And I said, the Om Band. Because I had met some friend who was into Om chanting. And he said, Om, do you know what Om means? And I said, no. And he took out a Bhagavatam, and we looked in the index, and we had like a little class right there in the airport. And he was sharing me different quotes about Om and how it's the impersonal representation of the Supreme Lord Krishna. And it was very interesting and enlivening, and he was very politely and enthusiastically presenting the book. And at the end he said, would you like to keep the book? And I said, yes. And I said, can I give you a donation? And he said, yes. So I was really poor at that time. I was like a street musician traveling around the world. And I had like $140. I still remember like a bunch of $20 bills, just a few, not a bunch. And I was traveling internationally with like this, you know, just very little money. But so I gave him $2. Okay, so he took the $2. He was smiling. He was happy. I walked away. And then he called me back. He said, wait, you dropped something. And I had dropped one of my $20 bills. And he called me back and he said, you dropped this $20 bill. This is yours. And I took it back from him. And I was so impressed by how honest the devotees were. And I had met devotees before. I liked their food. I liked their music. I like now from meeting this devotee, I like them. I like the devotees. But I couldn't understand the philosophy. So my flight was late. I said, let me try to read this book cover to cover and try to understand everything. It was Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 1. So that was a big changing point in my life. Srila Prabhupada, Transcendental Book Distribution, Ki Jai.
Okay, Ananda, a couple, just 60 seconds. Then we're going to read the scores. Then we'll read scores.
I don't know what to say. okay, yes. I actually, in 2012, I was part of the Occupy movement. It's like a social activism movement. And we traveled to Chicago. And we were staying outside Occupy movement. We would like set up tents in front of big businesses. And so I was sleeping outside with this group of people, and one day I found the perfection of yoga on a staircase, like near the ground, leading up to a church, and that's what did it for me. When I traveled back to California, I read that book, and I was basically convinced of everything Srila Prabhupada was saying. And I remember in particular the artwork, like, really captivated me. There's this picture of Krishna and Balaram, the very famous picture, and there's like thousands of cows behind them. And there's a caption from one of the pages, like one sentence under that painting, that said, Krishna's abode is not void. Rather, is it is an establishment with a variety of engagements. Uh-huh. And when I read that, it's so mystical. It made me want to go there. I want to go to Krishna's abode. So I started trying to follow the four regular principles, but I was living on Venice Beach. I was sleeping on the sand. And I didn't know that there's a temple here. I didn't really know about devotees, but I just found this book. So I would go off on my own, and I would try to meditate, because it said you should think of Krishna and meditate on Krishna. So I would look at the paintings, and then I would close my eyes and try to meditate on Krishna. And the four regular principles, I was trying to follow them just because the book told me to, but I was struggling with that. And then finally I met Banabhata Prabhu. He was distributing prasadam, and I saw that he had the same book on his table. So I asked him some questions, and he actually didn't say anything to me. He just kind of like let me speak, and then he said, just come to our Sunday feast, and he gave me a card. And so I came, and I think a lot of people here remember what I looked like when I came here.
We'll never forget it.
I looked like walking like a caveman, basically. And I had a big beard and big dreadlocks. And yes, by the mercy of the devotees. And I'm so glad that I joined here in New Dwarka, because book distribution is emphasized here. And because I, I'm still a very insignificant neophyte, but because I endeavor to distribute books, I felt like any advancement I have made so far is mainly because I've been trying to do that service, and it's taken a lot of energy, and it's a full meditation. When we were doing traveling Sankirtan in the van, it was like you were saying, you have to order the books, you have to cook prasadam, you have to arrange where you're going, you have to take care of each other, you have to clean, you have to be an accountant also with the books and the Lakshmi and how much profit you're making.
Yeah.
So it's a full engagement, and it's really intense. And then what to speak of, you're driving all over the place, going to different festivals, sneaking into big music festivals. It's a lot of stress and anxiety, but it's ecstatic at the same time. And that's all I want to share for now.
Jai, nice. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Okay, we'll read a few things here, just in relationship to results, which do help. I remember Ananda Kirtan out in front of the temple. We used to say, don't leave him alone, just let him, just let him feel Krishna consciousness. And he'd stand there, and you could tell he was thinking heavy duty. So we would just walk by him, say, Hare Krishna. And it looked like you were in some kind of a war, an internal war. But thank God Krishna got you. All right. So what we'd like to do is just, first of all, just announce the marathon scores. In that this year's marathon, we had about 30 devotees went out. Tadit and Gavin, Hari Bhakta, Shamarari, Shimada Mahotsava, Yonija, Bhakti Maxim, Mayapur Shashi, Shama Dasi, Balai, Krishnapad, Maharaj Das, Savas Das, Karuna Dharini Dasi, Govinda Vasya Das, Advaita Charya, Naikatma Das, Bhakti Arinya, and then we had Krishna Party, Bhakti Kir, Bhakti Mil, Suvarna Bindu, Ananda Kirtan, Satyatanoi Radharani Dasi, Prem Sankirtan Das, Satyadulal, Dear Lalita Das, and Brigupadi Das. Yes, Haribo, that was 30 devotees. And those 30 devotees for the marathon, for 30 days, did 1,500 magazines, 4,011 small, 4,143 medium, 4,501 big books, and then 20,000 Maha big books, and 20 sets of Bhagavatams and Chaitanya Charitamritas. And the total for the day, for the month, was 100,000 Lakshmi points. Yes. Huge. Huge. Very huge. And then I'll read just We have so many names. We had 48 devotees throughout the year. We're not on book distribution. We'll just do the 15 top. But so many devotees went out. And then the 15 were like Maharaj Das, Bhatti Kier, Suvarna Bindu Das, Bhatti Emil, Amala Bhatta Swami, Radharani Dasi, Satyadulal Das, Guranga Prema Das, Devavrata Das, Satyatanoi Das, Prem Sankirtan Das, Dear Lalita Das, Ananda Kirtan Das, and Bhrigupati Das. Now, we'll just read the full-time devotees that went out for the year. That was like, you know, Satyadulal Prabhu, he did 197 small, 432 medium, 84 big, 2,324 maha big, 10 sets of Bhagavatams, 7,600 Lakshmi points. Then there's Gauranga Prema Prabhu, 884 small, 1,903 medium, 1,909 big, 2,770 maha big, and 22,900 Lakshmi points. Devavrata Prabhu, 1,018 small, 255 medium, 3,393 big books, and 4,068 maha big books, and 57 Bhagavatam sets, and 23,155 Lakshmi points. Satyatanoi Prabhu, 1,115 small, 5,355 medium, 8,974 big, 2,783 maha big, 32,300 Lakshmi points. Prem Sankirtan Das, number four spot, 1,723 small, 600,688 medium, 7,510 big, 8,330 maha big, 14 sets, and 34,106 Lakshmi points. Dear Lalita Prabhu, he did 2,042 small, 8,544 medium, 4,013 big, 4,879 maha big, and he did 30 sets of Bhagavatams and Chaitanya Charitamritas, and that was 48,500 Lakshmi points. Ananda Kirtan Prabhu, 900 magazines, 9,590 small, 2,997 medium, 7,697 big, 11,318 maha big, 98 Bhagavatam and CC sets, and 49,500 Lakshmi points. And in the top spot was Bhrigupati Prabhu, 71 years old, going on 72. He surpassed his age on his score. 3,813 small, 3,427 medium, 5,827 big, 8,837 maha big, 22 sets of Bhagavatams and CCs, and 76,600 Lakshmi points. Hari Bol. He actually went out 245 days. Amazing. Hare Krishna. That's amazing. Completely amazing. Okay, totals. All right, the results, 22. The Sankirtan collection for 2022, 473,081 Lakshmi points. The buffet, although it did only half of what it normally does, gave about 58,000 to the BBT effort. Yes. And the Govinda's gifts gave 53,000 Lakshmi points towards the effort. And then we had the Didi Hundi box, did 91,000 Lakshmi points. Mahaprasad sales, over 50,000 Lakshmi points. And the Bhagavad Gita Museum, even 27,700 Lakshmi points. And the BBT from the LA Temple received 447,000 Lakshmi points. Total books, 16,020 magazines, 46,983 small, 38,057 medium, 53,101 big books, 65,487 maha big books, and altogether 290 sets of Bhagavatams and Chaitanya Charitamritas. Haribol! That came to about 230,850 book points. And that brought us to about a 10% increase over last year. So we're going. Thank you very much for your patience and participation. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.